This is Rad Radio. It's just like Breaking Bad, only not nearly as good. Call the show anytime, 888-989-9811.
All right, got a lot of emails, RAD at radradio.com. A lot of them on the very same issue, which I'll cover in a moment. We were talking about the new Roadhouse movie with Patrick Swayze. It's on Amazon Prime, and a lot of us watched it over the weekend. We had the one guy who gave it an 8 out of 10, which I agree with. He said he'd watch it again if his wife wants to, which I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know why he needs his wife's permission. Could be nothing more than just an offhanded remark. This,
sure.
This is the kind of movie that my wife would not want to see. My wife, and without getting too far into it, after 12 years in the Army and a year in Afghanistan, has no problem with movies that include shootouts, guns, explosions, war, things like that. She hates everything that has to do with hand-to-hand combat in movies, stabbings, punchings, and yet she's an enormous fan of the UFC. I haven't talked it all the way through with her because I know enough of what she saw and experienced in Afghanistan that it's not a road that I need to go down. But since this movie is exclusively endless punching, fighting, etc., I didn't even invite her to watch it with me, nor would I ask her to again. But thank you, first of all, to all of you who wrote in. And it's ironic that I made a mention, and Brandon even said, "Oh yeah, I saw that," because this falls right under the heading of "They all look alike." I get to say that because my wife is black. It's the stupidest thing, by the way, that people say is a stereotype, because we all confuse people. We confuse white men with white men, white women with white women, like that. But I will tell you that upon confirming the news, I am shocked at the similarities.
Yep.
A lot of people wrote in. Jen wrote in and said, because I mentioned that the owner of the bar in the Roadhouse is the same girl, the same actress, who plays the chef on The Bear on Hulu. And Brandon at that time said, "Oh, yeah, I saw that." Well, a lot of people said, "Hello, anybody. Jessica Williams, who plays the Roadhouse owner, is not from The Bear. She played in Shrinking on Apple Plus."
Yep.
Not calling anyone out on the slip, but she's a fairly good actress who deserves the credit, which The Shrinking I've tried a few times. I never got into it. I don't know if I remember her character or not. But when you go into, like, image searches and such, they're wildly attractive, and they have a lot of similarities in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I should have remembered. I had this conversation at home when Nicole and I, my fiance, we were talking about the cast and who was in it, and she was like, "Oh yeah, the person from The Bear." And I was like, "Really? Okay." And I looked it up, and it was the girl from Shrinking. And you're right, the similarities are so close. So I could see why that was confused.
But thank you very much for clearing that up.
Is Shrinking the one with Harrison Ford?
Yep.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Jason Seagull.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Steven says about, because Kyle has seen the original Roadhouse finally.
Yes.
And he asked about the nudity in the new version.
I was curious.
I said, no, not really. No. Steven says there is a very short, and he's right, a very short flashing of a boob when Conor McGregor's character is introduced when he's walking around. Well, what he's referring to is we actually get to see, like, all of Conor McGregor. When we very first see Conor McGregor's character, he's clearly been having sex with a married woman, and now the man is yelling at him or kicking him out of the house, and Conor McGregor then proceeds to walk through this village wherever he is completely naked, and we see every bit of him except his wang.
Wow, sir.
He says, in the new Roadhouse movie, you do get to see Conor McGregor's butt quite a few times. Don't know if you consider that nudity, but he's quite on display.
Hot cross buns.
Daniel wrote in, this does seem to be a very polarizing movie. We had one guy that said 8 out of 10, another one said 4 out of 10. Daniel says, I decided to watch Roadhouse this weekend. I love the original. I went into it trying my best to not compare it to the original. The action lived up to the hype. But the acting was horrible. Again, I don't know what movie they were watching. Maybe I just don't know acting. And some of the action scenes gave me Fast and Furious exaggerated vibes. Do not get that at all. That's the third or fourth comparison to that. I do not understand where people are getting that. The sheriff character, who usually plays a really good bad guy in other movies, his acting was terrible. The movie could have done without him altogether. Well, the movie could have done without him altogether, but I didn't find his acting to be terrible at all. Anyways, Daniel gave it a 3 out of 10, so he really did not like it.
So I wonder if the Fast and Furious comparisons are happening because just the way that the style looks and the way the film was shot and like the scenes and the cinematography, all that nerdy stuff that I really get off on. Because, I mean, other than that, the storyline does not line up. So I wonder if it's just the action part of it that they're relating it to.
Maybe. I was also thinking maybe it could be the one-liners, like the cheesy little sayings they might say. Like you said, there it was an homage to the early 80s and, I'm sorry, late 80s, early 90s films. And I know Fast and the Furious has some stupid little one-liners in there that you can consider cheesy.
Since I've only seen a couple of the Fast and Furious movies because I hate them and I think they're awful, I can't intelligently comment on that because maybe they're so bad they are cheesy. Because the ones that they do in the new Roadhouse, they make me chuckle and they're pretty well done. And you go, of course, yes, of course it's cheesy, and that's what it's meant to be in the moment.
So obviously I'm not your typical fan of true guy movies. I understand where acting's important for me anyway. Like when I watch Equalizer, I think Denzel's amazing. A lot of the other bad guys that are in there are amazing. And I'm sure I could think of Man on Fire, things like that. So correct me if I'm wrong. This to me is a typical guy movie I would never even seek out and watch, where the others I just mentioned I can watch, I enjoy. I think they're like, you know, gender neutral or whatever. So I go into it with a typical guy movie, not expecting to see great acting. Is that correct? I mean, is that in general how a guy should go into watching a typical guy movie? And if you get great acting, great. But like, what's this? I guess I'm having a hard time with what is their obsession with the acting part of it? Because I didn't really think you needed it in those type of movies. But maybe I'm wrong on that because I'm not your typical fan of those movies.
I mean, I have multiple problems with that because with A, this movie doesn't have horrible acting. B, not always. Again, one of my favorites, back to Bruce Willis, Live Free or Die Hard. The acting's amazing in that movie. Not just Bruce Willis, but I always forget the guy's name who plays the main antagonist in that movie, the guy who's trying to do the fire sale. He's extraordinary in it. The kid, Justin Long, great job of acting in the movie. It's a very well-acted movie. The idea of going in, I'm just going to expect this to be a terrible act. Maverick. That's an action movie. Extraordinary acting in that film.
You're thinking of Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, and I always forget his name, and he's such a great actor.
Yeah, see, like, and when you bring up those movies, I can enjoy those, right? Like, so when I'm thinking of different guy movies that turn out to be Maverick, right? That's just, I don't look at it as like, oh, that's only dudes are going to see that. When I see movies like that, I'm like, oh, this is really for everyone. It leans maybe guy, but anyone can enjoy it.
I'll grant you that one.
Yeah,
but
so
Live Free or Die Hard, that's a guy movie.
And it's so weird because I do enjoy that one when my husband has it
on. Filled with great acting.
That's the one with Justin Long, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so that is where I was trying to see if that's what was happening here with those guys, that they're just too focused on the acting in a movie where you shouldn't be.
No, they're just too simple-minded. Mimo wrote in and said, as a person who saw the original, I found the new Roadhouse to be horrible.
It
had no heart, and I found myself not caring for any character. Jake was the only person that could act, and I couldn't stand Conor McGregor. Okay. Evan wrote in, and Evan wrote back. Evan's the one who's going to watch it again if his wife wants to see it. He says, I only meant if my wife was interested to watch it. I watched it without her, and if she wanted to watch it, I would sit through it again, but instead she chose The Beekeeper. Oh, good, I wanted to know about that. The Jason Statham movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I wish she would have chosen Roadhouse.
Oh, no.
Damn it. Okay, it wasn't bad, but Roadhouse was better, I feel. All right. Let's get to Treble Trouble.
Treble Trouble. Conor McGregor's ass was nominated for an Oscar.
Treble Trouble.
Or an Asker.
There it is.
Treble Trouble.
We got a pair of tickets for you to see Chevelle at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno on April 23rd. Caller 18. Hello, Vince.
What's up?
You will guess first, and if you know the song title, you will win the tickets. If not, we'll go to Cameron.
Good morning.
Morning.
And Jacob, your caller 20.
What's up?
We are looking for a 2009 rock song.
Come
What is the title of that rock song from 2009? Vince, do you know it?
What? That Letter from a Thief?
Cameron, do you know the title of the song?
No clue. All right.
And that brings up Jacob.
Jars?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Jars?
Man, oh my gosh.
You win. So an actual Chevelle fan wins the tickets because that is a Chevelle song called Jars. From the hands, confused by opposites, I'm into jars.
We'll say this.
My question, because I was wondering, what is a Chevelle? Is this a band, a person?
It's a car.
Stand up.
Was that like, as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We have two more chances for you to win at 8 and 9 a.m.
And now, baby, here's Dr. Rob, the doctor of love. Dr. Rob.
Here's how the Dr. Rob segment works. You got a question, a comment, a problem of your own. Our phone number is 888-989-9811. You can always write to the doctor. R-A-D at radradio.com. Remembering, I am not really a doctor, and you should suck it. We will begin with Victor.
Hey, Victor.
Says, Rob, I need some advice. My wife is currently 5 months pregnant. Yuck.
Oh, yay. Congrats.
Lots of hormones.
Is due to give birth in July. She's working as a medical assistant at a company that does not value her as an employee. She's come home upset and sometimes crying after a rough day of her managers being nasty for no apparent reason. Well, that's her version. We talked last night and agreed that she should and will begin looking and applying somewhere else. My question is, should she or should she not bring up in interviews that she is pregnant? I don't want her to be denied employment just because she is pregnant when she is surely qualified for the position. And if she does get hired without disclosing that she is pregnant, is there any recourse, legal or otherwise, that can be taken against her? Thank you in advance. Well, I do remind you of the famous phrase a lawyer called in 20 years ago and uttered on this show, which is people can do anything they want. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Walking around saying you can't do that gets you absolutely nowhere. People can do whatever they want, whether it's legal or not, whether there's a recourse or not. That's another story. Now, technically, both California and federal laws protect you from discrimination during the hiring period. You do not have to tell legally potential employers that you are pregnant, and they cannot hold it against you later. They can't fire you for failing to disclose that information during an interview. However, there are, of course, related issues that might cause trouble down the road, like, well, I know I can't fire you for this, but you're on the crap list now. It is, however, on the opposite side, and since your wife is 5 months pregnant, depending on how she's built, this could or could not be an issue. It is not illegal for a potential employer to ask you if you're pregnant. And if you lie in the interview, now you're really screwed. Then there are repercussions later. So if your interviewer sees a baby bump, depending on how your wife is dressed or how she's built or whatever, and asks, by the way, I just have to ask, are you pregnant? Oh, great, congratulations, et cetera. He has every right, he or she has every right to do that. And whether or not, again, you'll never. This will never be disclosed. They're not going to call and tell you, you didn't get the job because you're pregnant. But they may very well think, do I want to hire someone who in 3 months is going to be gone on maternity leave, and then I got to fill her position, and when do my health care benefits kick in, and all of these other things.
I don't see why she would even try to jump ship at this point. She has a job. I get it's harsh work conditions and her boss is a jerk, whatever. But, I mean, she's got another 4 to 5 months of being pregnant. I say wait it out. Collect that maternity money that you're going to get from being off for that job. And then once you have to come back, then quit. And then start looking for a new job if you're really concerned. I mean, you already have kind of guaranteed maternity leave anyways.
I had the same thought, and I came up with a few possible answers that don't necessarily negate the points that Kyle just made. First of all, coming home from work, crying, and being yelled at or whatever. If this is a chronic thing, this could be very bad for the baby's health. Yep. And that's one thing to consider.
Yep.
Secondly, of course, there are also always monetary issues. They may really need her salary for the next 3 months to the point where it's like, we need your salary, but I can't have you coming home like this every night. We can't risk the baby, so you're going to go look for another job. I do absolutely get the logic behind what Kyle's saying of, can you tough it out? Because if you could tough it out for three more months, because maternity leave can start, depending on where you're at, long before you give birth, obviously, weeks before you give birth. You go on it, you take advantage of the job that you hate, and then you give birth, you come back, and you go, now that I'm a mom, I don't want to work here anymore, and you start the process. So I do think that's something that should be in the mix, Victor, depending on how bad the situation is. I assume it's really bad since you wrote. I would go another direction, not that it's a wrong direction from Kyle. I'm kind of the mindset of a job working for somebody is like a relationship. And if you start a relationship on a lie, things go very badly very quickly. It is absolutely true that we do live in a world where if you are candid about the fact that you will not be available in 3 months and you'll be on maternity leave and such, there are plenty of people who will say in their minds, not out loud, well, I ain't hiring your ass. However, there are plenty of us who would also say, wow, I really appreciate the candor. Now, what somebody in my position might say is, okay, let's take Victor's premise. You're highly qualified for the position and in every way. If I were to hire you, obviously I have to fill your position while you're gone. Do you have a plan for that? Do you have an idea for that? In other words, are you going to spend the next 3 months training somebody to do your job? You kind of throw it back on them. So it's that old, don't come to me with a problem, come to me with a solution thing. And see what their reaction to it is. It might not be the reason that you do or don't hire them. But it is something to consider. But no, she doesn't have to disclose it. She can't lie about it if she's asked. It is a tough position to be in for a variety of reasons that I think we've covered mostly here.
So, did it say in there that it's always been this way at work? Because I have a question. How she feels at work, that she's coming home crying. Oh. Has this always been the case in this workplace?
She's working as a medical assistant at a company that does not value her as an employee, which doesn't say how long. It just says she has come home upset and sometimes crying after a rough day.
This is just a side note thing. Like, when did that start? Did it start when you got pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, and I'm not taking away, I 100% validate you, every woman handles their hormones differently. And hormones absolutely can completely take a person over. You can consciously in your mind go, this is not me, but you cannot stop it or help yourself. It is a real thing. So it doesn't take away from the fact, though, of what Rob said. Let's say that is it. Yeah. Now you're bothered by now things bother you differently than they did before. Maybe they were tolerable before you were pregnant, but now with all the hormones and being pregnant, it isn't. And either way, I'm just curious, right? Because if that could be worked out in your mind to get you in a good place, great. If it can't, I go to what Rob said, not good for the baby. The other thing, though, that I'm like, okay, if you did start another job, the other thing to keep in mind is you're really not going to know until you work there how accommodating this place is going to be for someone with a family. So I think that's really a thing to look into and ask those questions. And other people that work there, do they have families? Because some workplaces are not as conducive or supportive, and they're not outright going to say it. But, you know, when people are starting families, a lot of times they have to take that into account.
I'd start the interview with that.
Yeah. You know, because
I honestly, as the prospective employee, first things first, I just want you to know, I don't know if you can tell her or not, I'm 5 months pregnant. And I whether that does or doesn't affect your decision on whether you're not going to hire me, I'm curious. when I come back from maternity leave, which, by the way, I'm going to do as quickly as I can, you know, whatever. There's legal things you can take advantage of. You can also say, I'm coming back early. It depends on your position. What's that going to be like? Because now I've got an infant at home. And look, I'm a hard worker, and I will work my ass off for you. But is there a way that I'll be able to work from home sometimes? Or how do you guys handle things like that here, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah,
it's a great point.
I mean, because I'm not, I don't want to say, I mean, you can't 100% understand it unless you've lived it yourself. So, you know, a boss who's lived it, Rob's an understanding person, even though he hasn't had children, but some aren't. Those that have lived it, they get it. They get you're a hard worker, but things happen last minute that you literally have no control over. It's a baby. A baby's not going to go, oh, no, mom's at work. You know, it's like it doesn't work like that. But the reason I feel like you would want, and again, you're going to decide, the reason I feel like to your original thing where you would want to make them known is because you don't know. Maybe your boss is fine with it if you didn't say it and then he finds out you are, but maybe your coworkers aren't. And they're like, wow, you came here at 5 months pregnant and you only put in this much time. And now they're picking up your slack while you're gone. And that could have some resentment. And that's not okay. But you have no control over how people around you are going to act or respond. And there again, is this a workplace you're going to that it's a bunch of young people with no children? They are for sure going to resent you.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the idea. I don't think like going to getting a new job right now in the condition she's in is a good idea because there's a lot of uncertainty. And like Dawn's saying, it could have resentment with the other employees. And it might just cause more problems down the road when she already has problems she's dealing with that this mean boss. I don't know why she can't go hash it out with that boss. Or maybe if he or she is being mean, why isn't she like recording that and writing it down and going to a labor board or talking to a lawyer? I mean, she is pregnant. She's a woman. Obviously, there could be discrimination going on there, and she might have a good case against that employer. But
especially since she doesn't care to work there anymore anyways, yeah. What does she care about the repercussions?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, even if there are in your new job, if you're not honest about it, and there are people there that have had kids, they still might be resentful because they know you were 5 months. You're only going to be able to put in 3 or 4 months here, and then you're going to be gone for however long it is. And that's right, because some people, I don't know. I think some places, right, you can even take 12 weeks or longer, and you're just new to the game, where they could have hired someone who is now in that position and not leaving them for months at a time.
A couple of different mindsets here. Andrea wrote in and said, I honestly feel she should stick it out. I was pregnant during COVID working at a large hospital. Oh, my God.
Damn.
And I hated it. I took advantage of my maternity leave and just put my 2 weeks in the company the last 2 weeks of my maternity leave and already had another job lined up. Because, unfortunately, a lot of companies don't want to hire pregnant women because they know they're going to be there for a few months. Then when you're on leave, hopefully the new job will hold your position. Your new coworkers are already going to have some sort of resentment to you, Dawn made that point, because you're supposed to be the new help. And when you're gone, they're back into the position again, blah, 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 blah. This is the Kyle version of Can You Suck It Up, which as a mom, you're going to have to do. For the next 18 years, you're going to have to suck it up. Can you suck it up for three-ish months? Now, there is a middle ground. Very interesting email from Tim that came from Kyle's point. If the writer's wife is under a lot of stress that cause issues for the pregnancy, she can have her doctors write her off work early.
Oh,
you go to your doctor, you make your case about what work is doing to you and your baby.
Okay.
The doctor sends a note to your current employers who have to honor it. Now you're taking advantage of early maternity leave for a job you're already getting ready to leave anyways.
Maybe if she just sucked it up, she wouldn't have gotten pregnant in the first place.
Perfect point to be made, and none of this would be the issue.
Here's the other thing too. Another side note, I've seen this happen a couple times with my girlfriends. Careers, and they're moving right along. They have every intent. In their mind, they're doing maternity leave for as short as possible, and they're coming back. They're getting back into the groove. Baby comes. They're at home with that baby. And even though the family needed the money, they had to figure out how to make this work because they ain't going back.
Mm-hmm.
Once they have that baby there, there are just some women, and I'm not saying one's right or wrong. Some women, get me back to work. Others, once that baby's, they're like, nope, I'm taking care of this baby. I'm not missing any of this. I ain't going back. And, you know, what if that was the case? You got hired to a new place and you're then, like, oh, not going back.
And then there's the middle ground, which are my favorites. And again, none of these are wrong. They're the ones who have that reaction of, oh, my God, I was born to be a mom. I am not going to miss a thing. 2 or 3 years later, they're like, oh, my God, I need adults. Get me around adults. I have to get out of here. I must work.
Yeah.
All of those scenarios can be worked out. All right. This is from Call Me Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Dr. Rob, I work security, so I come home late some nights, mostly weekends. I'm 41, been married for 15 years. We dated for a total of 20, so they've been together a total of 20 years. We met right in our first year of college. We have 2 kids, a 14 and a 9-year-old. The problem is I have a high sex drive and my wife does not. We've talked about it and it just doesn't cross her mind like it does mine. I think of her all the time, how beautiful she is and things that I would do to her just to hear her moan. Now, here's how sex did work. When we were young, we did it everywhere like teens do. We had kids. It went to a few times a week. A few years back, it went to once a month, if I was lucky. And I attributed a lot of that to COVID and all of the stress that was going on. Last week, I came home, and she was just wearing panties.
Oh.
It was hot. I opened the window for us to sleep, let some air in, went to bed. She woke up the next morning and asked why I didn't cuddle. And I said I was hot, and cuddling didn't sound good. And she frowned and said, well, I was looking for some extra cuddles, if you know what I mean. Ooh. Translation, I missed a sex window. We agreed that next time that I was, I agreed that next time that was a hint, I could go for it from now on. And it hasn't happened again. And again, I let it go. She's not in the mood. I don't want to press her. Well, it all happened this morning after another long shift of work. I got up at 3 a.m., we cuddled, I went to bed, and when her alarm went off, so it all happened again as in panty time, I'm sending you the signal. Her alarm went off, I was cuddling, kissing her neck, hinted for some early morning loving, and she said no and rolled away. So I got up, made a coffee order, and then went to pick it up because for some reason they can't make coffee at home.
Not that fancy coffee.
Extra whipped cream, you know.
Right, they didn't have the vanilla on hand, that syrup.
Don't understand this. That's another topic.
There's no scones.
I came back, and she's crying, saying that I only want her hoo-hoo. We talked again about our sex life, and again, I got strung out as a sex-craving maniac. Well, it's true. I worship my husband like I think husbands should. We've tried toys and games and all sorts of things, but it excites me more than her. Sex is mostly the same when it happens. I know my lanes. I know where not to go. I know what not to ask for. So here is my new life. I have sex scheduled once a month now. The third of the month. I don't know why. Every month from now on. And I don't know if I can do this. I miss my wife. I miss touching her body, making it move in my hands with my touch. I miss her noises. What do I do? I won't leave her over this. But since 2019, she has changed. We talked about getting me a girlfriend. Oh, God.
Whoa, red flag off the bat.
But how does that work? I already barely see my family. How would dating help? What do I do? Thanks for any advice.
Oh.
So many various angles to, so many avenues to go down. You can go down the... There's a 14 and a 9-year-old, and what's the role in terms of you're working these late nights? Is she dealing with, this is one of the more classic stereotypes, is she dealing with so much at home that she's overwhelmed, she doesn't feel supported, she feels resented, she feels like, as she said to you, you only want her for her hoo-hoo, she's not feeling the love elsewhere. That's one possibility. Another possibility is she's 41, and you say this started in 2019, which would be 5 years ago, which is when a woman's body dramatically starts to change in a variety of ways. How on board is she? Because she, you say based on your conversations with her, that sex is it's a big deal for you, and you guys used to be on the same page for together. But you say it just doesn't cross her mind like it does yours. Well, how on board is she to have it cross her mind? Because if she is, there are things that can be done to start ruling things out. Hormonal testing, things like that. You start going to various medical professionals and saying, if it's not like the first example, I do want to have sex with my husband. I miss it, and I just, it doesn't cross my mind, and I don't know if it's something that could be done womanly and such. I'm a little curious about this. If I'm only wearing panties, it means I'm open for business thing, that it's taken 20 years for that to come up. And I don't know if that's a late in life phenomenon, because that was a conversation very early on that I had with my wife. I'm just curious about that. I just throw that out there as a thing to do. The most shocking thing is obviously the very last part, which everybody reacted to, because that came way out of left field. I had the same reaction this morning when I read it. I'm reading this email going, okay, I can think of all sorts of possibilities here. And then when all of a sudden we talked about getting me a girlfriend, huh?
Yeah.
Now I'm taking you at your word. The both of you talked about it. Who brought it up? Whose idea was it? Mm-hmm. And wow, is that, that's a way out there idea in this sense. It can be done. People do it. You got two kids. You barely see your family. You're going to get a side piece to take care of the fact that you can't handle having sex with your wife only once a month. And I get it. Look, we've talked about this over and over and over again. Compatibility. It sounds like you were sexually compatible for a long time and now you're not. And that's very frustrating to you. And if her solution is you're going to have sex once a month on the third, for whatever reason, for the rest of your life, and that's all you're going to get, that's not a team solution. There's missing things here about what's going on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, so two comments. First one on the side piece, getting a girlfriend for me is a terrible idea, because with the fragility in which your personal and physical relationship is with your current wife, I could just see that totally backfiring in your face. Because what happens if you do get that girlfriend and you do develop a deeper relationship, then you decide to stay on that side of the grass, then you're leaving everybody behind. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's a good idea. It's a very rare thing where it does work, but for all the things that you addressed, kids barely spending time with the family, that it just wouldn't work. Which leads me to my other point, is it just sounds like you both are just not on the same page. You're coming and going in different directions of the night, and you're not necessarily getting that quality time together. And that might just be what she needs, because foreplay starts outside of the bedroom. Women are a lot more complicated than dudes. Dudes get a little rub on their parts, then they're ready to go. Girls need a little rub on their minds, on their hearts, and you know, they're figure out her love language. Get her to get aroused outside of the bedroom so that it could lead into that talk, that communication, and ultimately the same page where you guys can come together literally and figuratively.
Now, Brandon kind of touched on what I wanted to say, is that maybe he's not attractive to her. She's not attracted to him anymore. I mean, it kind of sounds like that. I mean, he comes home, he works late. What is he doing to make sure that she's stimulated? And the fact that when he used the sentence, we decided that I should get a girlfriend, I mean, I'm kind of reading between the lines. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit on my situations. Like when I say we, and I'm referring to me and my spouse.
It's you. We're back to spouse.
Yes.
So not girlfriend.
When I'm referring to it, it's usually heavily on her decision. It's usually like the girl's decision. And I'm thinking maybe she's also trying to get you to move on. And there might be some, I don't want to stir up any rumors, but you know, in the back of my head, I think that she's already looking at other options.
Wow.
And she's probably suggesting that he get a girlfriend.
So I love everything that I heard from you guys, and please, like, this is no offense at all. I could talk for hours on this topic. We don't have hours. And the topic of what Rob alluded to at first, that I think could be the catalyst for all of this, and hormones. Because listen, I know it starts at a young age that we start making fun of women on their periods, and oh, here's the mood again. And so it becomes a joke thing, and we've kind of been conditioned to not take it as serious as it is. And listen, progesterone and estrogen you will be amazed when you really start studying it, how much they affect every inch of a woman. And the thing that saddens me a lot for dudes is like what the three of you are doing. I mean, honestly, very thoughtful things to think of and to say. And when a guy then is like, okay, yeah, I'm going to, and maybe this is all it's going to be. Maybe it is simple as, that's right. I need to treat her more. I need to appreciate her more outside of the bedroom. So then she'll really want to, you know, be intimate with me in the bedroom. And you know what? Let's hope that's as simple as it is. But I feel for guys when they're like, my gosh, okay, I'm doing that and I'm doing that and I'm doing that. I'm doing all the things and she still is like this. And she's 41. Okay, back when I was 35 and I'm 54 now, and this is in the 2000s, 2005, we got laughed out of the doctor's office when you brought up perimenopause. It was, you were literally laughed at. You were called crazy and they said, here's some Prozac to help with your moods. But what about my hot flashes? What about this? Perimenopause can happen 10 to 15 years before you actually enter menopause. And here's the frustrating thing about all of this. And I really think this is how a lot of relationships end up ending. Because even if she goes to her doctor, she may not be going to the right doctor. Not every doctor's up on this. Not every doctor actually says to a woman what she needs. A lot of them will refuse to do a hormone test. You're too young for that. You're not even in menopause. It won't even show up. So I just have to ask you to be willing to be on the journey with her. That's if she wants to go on this journey.
And that's the big question that I started with, is because we're only getting his version.
But
the way you describe it, sir, she doesn't even have an interest in pursuing this. And if that's true, you've got other problems. No Name Woman says, please have your wife look into bioidentical hormone treatments.
Amen.
Hormones are out of whack, I say. Mm-hmm. And I say it from experience. Look up wellness clinics that specialize in bioidentical hormones. Get a full panel run. Go from there. I was just like you are describing your wife until I got this looked at. Now that my hormones are on track again, my sex drive is insanely high. And on another note, date your wife. Give her quality time. 100 agree with everything that Brandon said. Please listen to him.
Yeah, and you should know as well, before you went and got your hormones figured out, your husband can date you every day of the week. It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked.
If the hormones are
out
of whack.
If the hormones are out of whack. And guys sometimes, which is understandable, get frustrated. I'm doing all those things they tell me works for a woman, yet it's not working with her. Hormones will literally take over. They are responsible for so many things in our bodies as women. So many things. It's ridiculous. And you know, this is why she had to recommend going to a wellness center, because too many in the medical field are not up to date. Some are. But here's the deal. I'm glad she brought it up. I was hesitant to, but I'm glad she did, because a lot of those places don't take insurance and it's pricey. And so I went that route, but I was hesitant to suggest it because I had the funds to do it. And most people don't. They're not cheap. And so finding an actual medical doctor with your insurance plan that's going to listen to you, it is sadly a long journey.
And take a combination of all of it out of it. And if that like scares you off, go back to a version of what Brandon said and what I said. You have a 14 and a 9-year-old.
Oh, God.
What is she doing all day? Does she work? Is she dealing with it? Is she dealing with a 14-year-old all day? Oof. And what are you doing when you do come home to help her, to support her, to ask her about how her day went? And Brandon brought up the scheduling issues. I can't speak for everybody on this show, but I've got scheduling issues. I go to bed between 7 and 8. My wife is up until 1 or 2 in the morning working on legal briefs. We have time. We find ways to have sex, to be intimate. There are plenty of ways to do it, from the things that Brandon was describing, the way that foreplay begins outside of the bedroom and things like that. And there has to be, from your version, better communication and better buy-in on both of your parts to get this looked at and fixed that.
Dr. Rob is not a real doctor. He only plays a doctor on the radio. Most of the time, he's full of crap.
And echo, echo, echo on Brandon and the girlfriend idea. Ugh. That's just awful. You yes. can email us, RAD, at radradio.com.
Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn. The Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn Show.